Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Carmen Cuesta Roca at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's program, HIV resurfaces in gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men. And a new graphic novel sheds light on the status of Roma women. But first, the Global Goals Agenda, also known as the Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs, is widely seen as extremely ambitious, far more so than its predecessor, the Millennium Development Goals. But are the SDGs good for women? UN Radio's Daniel Johnson put that question to Gabriel Curler from the UNRISD, the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development.
First of all, the fact that there's one standalone goal on women for women's empowerment and rights, and there's another goal which I find almost more important, which is on equality between and in countries, which is broader than just gender equality. It's all forms of equality. Where we stand for women is that this now has to actually be addressed in an integrated fashion. We have to look at the finance to make this agenda happen, and we need to look at the power politics behind the inequities that we experience.
And in terms of the actual accountability, you talked about a lack of critical mass from civil society that might be pushing for change.
I don't think there's a lack of critical mass. I think civil society has never been so strong in terms of how they were able to negotiate the outcome document on the 2030 agenda. But what I think the risk is that civil society in so many countries, north and south, is currently being hollowed out. Core funding has disappeared for NGOs, for critical academic institutions. And if that core funding of basic civil society activities, if that core funding doesn't come back, it will be much more difficult for civil society to play the role it needs to play in keeping track of what's happening with the Sustainable Development Goals.
You mentioned that there might be a way of giving additional weight to the implementation of the SDGs by adding human rights conventions them.
On the one hand, yes, the SDGs or the 2030 agenda is ambitious. It calls itself transformative. But when you go into the detail, it's not very specific on what one would actually need to do, what kind of policies would be needed. So what I think one needs to do is to place the 2030 agenda in the larger universe of United Nations conventions, the human rights conventions, going all the way back to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which actually says there's a right to education, there's a right to health, there's a right to social security, the right to well-being, which is not very policy specific either, but it's sort of a very rights way of looking at it. Then we have the proper conventions, the Covenant on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights from the 1960s, which most countries have ratified. Then we have the CEDAW and the CRC and the Convention on People with Disabilities and others. And then we have all the ILO conventions on labor standards, which many of them have also been ratified by countries. Some of them are quite specific. The one that I like best, really, in terms of its specificity on policies, is the International Declaration or Action Plan on Population and Development, the ICPD, from 1994. And that gives very specific, you know, on equal wages. So I think one needs to look at not just what this particular 2030 text is saying, but what is the whole environment of, or the whole universe of progressive declarations with progressive policies that we could tap.
The annual number of people newly infected by HIV around the world has dropped in the past 15 years, but has resurfaced in the gay community. That's according to experts, researchers, and human rights defenders belonging to an advocacy platform backed by the UN. Meanwhile, the epidemic has expanded uncontrollably in bisexual and other men who have sex with men. In June, a UN high-level meeting on HIV/AIDS will be held to fast-track the global HIV response in order to end the AIDS epidemic by 2030. Jocelyn Sambira has more.
Living as an unemployed gay, bisexual, or man who has sex with men in Nigeria can actually be a death sentence, according to Michael Igodaro, a program and policy assistant for AVAC, a global advocacy program for HIV prevention. A controversial bill banning same-sex relationships passed in the West African nation in 2014, leading to a crackdown on lesbian, gay, bisexual, and homosexual people. Igodaro, who fled the country in 2015 following a brutal attack and death threats, shared the story of his former gay roommate, Daniel.
I remember a day Daniel came to my office after he had seen the doctor. He said to me, "Michael, I just lost my job because my boss suspects I'm gay." He said, "The one issue for me now is how to take my ARVs without a job." I sat there and looked at him and said, "Daniel, these two shall pass, and you shall be fine, without actually knowing if it will be fine.
Daniel recently passed away from AIDS-related complications, he said. More than 70 countries around the world still criminalize same-sex activity and relationships, says Thomas La Silvia of the U.S. Global AIDS Coordination and Health Diplomacy Office.
We believe that we will not achieve an AIDS-free generation unless we support true equality and dignity for all and shine a bright light on the places where stigma, discrimination, and gender inequality continue to fuel the epidemic.
Unfortunately, Thomas La Silvia says, there is a lack of global political will. There's a concern that countries are downplaying the epidemic among gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men community, warns Nadia Rafif, Director of Policy at the Global Forum of Men Having Sex with Men and HIV. She's hoping bold and new targets for HIV treatment and prevention come out of the high-level UNAIDS meeting in June.
We worry that maybe it will be the last high-level meeting on HIV. We worry because some governments have lost interest on HIV, and we want to be sure that they will be here for the declaration. And we worry because we will be in trouble for the next 5 years if everybody is not committed to have a strong declaration.
A new comic that is available online takes a novel approach to highlighting the situation of one of the most excluded groups in Europe. Daria, a Roma woman's journey, tells the story of a young mother in Serbia and touches on issues such as early marriage, discrimination, poverty, and a lack of educational and employment opportunities in the Roma community. Bharati Sadavisam is the team leader for gender equality and women's empowerment with the UN Development Programme, UNDP, in Istanbul, Turkey. She tells Diane Penn why a graphic novel was chosen to illustrate what it calls the multiple layers of exclusion that Roma women face.
So Daria's story is essentially how she struggles with having been married, a very young girl, against her wishes, but very much in line with her family's desire for her economic future. She's married off at a very young age, a young Roma boy, and then how she makes a family with him and tries to raise her children with better opportunities than she had. And then when she comes up against some obstacles, she takes a really bold step in trying to protect her daughter from encountering the same fate that she did. I won't tell you the whole story, but just to say that it touches upon the themes that are very common in the community, which are education and the lack of it. It also touches upon issues of employment and discrimination. And most important, it looks at child marriage.
And let's talk about one of those issues, discrimination. And the cartoon actually opens up with Daria and her young son getting on the bus. Maybe you can tell people like what's going on.
In that particular picture, Daria is entering the bus with one of her children. So you see in the first set of frames in the comic, which is largely non-verbal, how uncomfortable she is, and the woman next to her very pointedly removes her handbag out of reach, almost to say, oh, I better protect my handbag now that I have a Roma woman sitting next to me. So I thought that was really telling and very effectively done without too many words, just to say the sort of daily silent types of stigmatization that the Roma undergo every day.
Why did the UN Development Programme launch this comic?
We decided to look at this form of advocacy on gender-based discrimination in the Roma community because it is a very old and persistent problem. Generally, women being discriminated in any marginalized communities is not news, so to speak. But we decided not to just write another report or do another sort of advocacy, a workshop or something on this issue, but we decided to really tell the story with pictures because this is so much more illustrative and it also really stays in the minds of the reader that they can visualize what one particular family and what one woman has gone through. So we decided to do it working with this company that produces these kinds of graphic novels and also with an artist who has a Roma background so that we sort of give some authenticity to the story as well.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. Thanks for listening. I'm Carmen Cuesta-Rocca.